read again from the book of Exodus, chapter 26, and verse 15. And the boards for the tabernacle thou shalt make of acacia wood, standing up, 10 cubits the length of the board, and 1.5 cubits the breadth of one board. One board shall have 2 tenons, connected one with the other. Thus also shalt thou make for all the boards of the tabernacle. The first book of Kings, in chapter 5, verse 17. And the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, hewn stones, to lay the foundation of the house. And Solomon's builders, and Hiram's builders, and the Giblites hewed them, and prepared timber and stones to build the house. The second book of Chronicles, chapter 3. And Solomon began to build the house of Jehovah at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where he appeared to David his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And he began to build on the second of the second month, in the 4th year of his reign. And this was Solomon's foundation for the construction of the house of God. The book of Ezra in chapter 3, in verse 10. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of Jehovah, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise Jehovah according to the directions of David, king of Israel. And they sang alternately together in praising and giving thanks to Jehovah, for he is good, for his loving kindness endureth forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout to the praise of Jehovah, because the foundation of the house of Jehovah was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief fathers, the ancient men that had seen the first house, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this house was laid in their sight. And many shouted aloud for joy, and the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a great shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Finally, in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. So then, ye are no longer strangers and foreigners, but ye are fellow citizens of the saints and of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom all the building fitted together increases to a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. It will be at once seen, brethren, that it's in mind to say a word as to God's foundation and our foundation. And I want to introduce what's in my mind by referring to a scripture that I haven't read, part of which I'm now going to read to you, which is in Luke's Gospel. And you needn't worry about turning to it, because I'm only going to be brief in what I say to introduce what is in my mind. I want to speak about the foundation of the tabernacle and the foundation of the temple, and the foundation that Paul refers to in the second chapter of the Ephesian epistle from which we've read. In relation to the foundation of the tabernacle, I want to bring perhaps a gospel touch into it. But before I do that, my mind went to the man, a man of whom it says that everyone that comes to me and hears my word and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. Every man that comes to me. Now, I believe everyone in this room today has come to Jesus. Maybe, I don't know, maybe there is someone that hasn't. But at any rate, our own two footsteps in the way of submission to divine will has meant that we've come into a sphere where Jesus has made everything of. We've delighted to sing together all that we found in our blessed, glorious, risen Lord. But the word in Luke 6 says, I'll tell you what this man's like. This man who comes, he says, and everyone that comes to me and hears my words and does them. Now I want to connect what I've got to say very much with our time together this afternoon, as we've said already in prayer. Comes to me and doesn't. It has been suggested, and I suggest it to you again, that the only means of our salvation in the testimony is to resort continually to the sanctuary. We must, brethren, we must find all our direction there. And I'm hoping and praying indeed that having heard that word, simple as it is, and yet challenging to me, and I trust challenging to it all, we might be like this man, it says, who built a house, who dug rather, and went deep, and laid a foundation on the rock. But a great rain coming, the stream broke upon that house, and could not shake it, for it had been founded on a rock. Now you say to me, reading this afternoon, has prompted my desire to get into the sanctuary. I want to introduce the theme of the foundation, God's foundation and ours, from that point of view. I want to speak to you for a minute about this man who built a house, building a house, and who dug. Now truth, beloved brethren, isn't always on the surface. Sometimes you have to dig for it. You remember when they went into the land, there were some things that had to be dug for. But it says of this man, he dug and went deep. That's the truth of the Roman epistles. He went deep. He came to the end of himself. Has been seen by another, said by another, that he went so deep that when he stooped down to dig, he couldn't see him. He disappeared. May well be that's true, I don't know. But it says the Spirit of God comments through Luke that he went deep and he laid the foundation on a rock. Now you have brought into this meeting tonight surely an evidence of, a tangible evidence of your desire to be here in relation to the pleasure and praise of God. May you be helped on the line of faith to put that into effect. May you and I be helped to spend more time in the sanctuary and thus get our guidance there. But understand this, that every time any move in faith is made, that move will always be tested in order that it might be consolidated. Now that's a word to particularly those that are young. I've said many a time, and I remember it vividly, in my teenage years, late teenage years, when I ought to have been committed to the Lord, I wasn't. And why wasn't I? I expected something mysterious to happen inside before I unreservedly committed myself to the Lord and to his interest. In other words, I expected some help before the move was made. But that help never came. It only came after the move was made. And here's a man, he dug deep. He laid his foundation on a rock. Blessed rock we've sung. What a saviour. What a saviour we all love. May we find the glory of his own person, the solid rock on which our feet stand. Let this be the true foundation of every one of us in this hall tonight. Now if there's someone here who hasn't found this foundation in life, then I commend this wonderful Saviour to you. We preach not ourselves, but those who surround you are a testimony, a silent yet eloquent testimony for the moment that Christianity really works. And the Spirit of God would say, look, this foundation in Christ in glory is yours now. You can have your feet on the solid rock. Digging deep, laying the foundation, gives some impression of the spiritual exercise through which in one way or the other we've all had to pass. But thank God we've found the rock. And so I go from there to speak of the foundation of the tabernacle. Someone might say, well, I didn't think the tabernacle had any foundation. Thought it was built on the sand. But you're quite right and you're also quite wrong. It had a foundation, of course it did. And the foundation was on those silver bases. Now there's a tremendous lesson to be learned from these silver bases. You remember? They were made from the shekel of the sanctuary, or the half shekel of the sanctuary, which was the atonement money. That all went together, and these bases were cast. And bear in mind this, that everybody who paid that atonement money, there was no difference between rich or between poor. So the basis of our foundation, as we stand like the boards on these two tenons of silver, is that we have every regard, equal regard, for every child of God on earth.
equal regard for every child of God on earth. Here they are on these bases. And whatever we may, failure we may be in many other ways, perhaps more rather than I am, nevertheless, may it please God that my feet might stand on this solid base, this silver base, these two tenets, this matter of adequate witness that my Saviour has been into death, he's poured out his own life's blood, he's accomplished the work of redemption, and at any minute now, he's going to complete that work of redemption, as the scripture says, to wit, the redemption of the body. Now what a blessed Saviour. But the two silver bases, they separated the bottom of the board from the world. The board was wide enough, tremendous in its height, nearly 15 feet high, nearly 3 foot wide, I believe. You can check it up at your leisure. But there it is. There must have been a tremendous weight. And as our brother was reminding us this afternoon, they were lined at any rate internally and on the returns with gold. Do you remember the bar that went through the middle? Keeping the unity of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. Do you remember those two bars above and two bars below that you could see? The bars in gold. They were all bound together. But the point I want to make is this, that the foundation on which that timber stood, that board, that plank stood, was this silver base that separated them from the world. Now I would like to make an appeal for you to our young brethren. May you stand on this base, and may you be thoroughly separate from the world. May you, in the enjoyment of one another's company, see that you keep clear of the world. That's essential. No good going into the sanctuary with the world on you. You can't do that. That's only what is morally of Christ can go into the sanctuary. May I repeat that? It's only what is morally of Christ can go into the sanctuary. And here are these boards. Here they stand. And you're one of them. And I'm another. And we are bound together in the holy bonds of fellowship. The apostles' doctrine and so on. Fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. That's the four boards. Then you've got the wall, one board that you can't see. All of them covered in gold, the intrinsic majesty of the glory of Christ. It's upon us, brethren. What can we say as to this? What can we say as to the amazing grace that has taken us up? We were a board, we were a tree, if you like, way out in the wilds, deriving all our supplies from the earth itself, yielded to the Saviour's own glorious grace, and we've been cut down. Cut down. We've been machined. We've been planed in some way or the other. What instruments they used, I don't know. All the awkward bits have been knocked off of us so that we can be bound together. Maybe there are a few awkward pieces still to be knocked off to the end that we might be bound together in this one great glorious bundle of life, standing shoulder to shoulder with the brethren, with one another on this these silver bases, two tenons in the silver base. You remember the word to Saul on the Damascus Road? Rise up and stand on thy feet. As someone else has said, not somebody else's feet. Stand on thy feet as a piece of spiritual substantiality. That's what's needed in these days. Persons to stand on their feet on the solid rock, this solid foundation. There it is, it's available, and it's cost my Saviour the pouring out of his own life's blood, that it might be available to you in this very room tonight. May it please God to bless us all in this regard. May we stand shoulder to shoulder on these silver bases as the foundation that separates us from the world. I then go on to 1 Kings 5, just for a moment, not to go into the detail of these scriptures. I think if I'm right in saying, our brother Alexander Barrett referred to this verse I'm going to comment on last week. It says, and the king commanded, and they brought forth great stones, costly stones, hewn stones, to lay the foundation of the house. And Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders and the Giblites hewed them and prepared timber and stones to build the house. But these great stones, these costly stones, these hewn stones, what tremendous stones they were. I've only once in my life seen marble being cut. I've never ever seen marble of the size of these stones being cut. I don't think we know what marble they were, but they still exist. These stones still exist. The Palestine Exploration Fund has found some of them, or found parts of some of them, or rather has exposed areas where some of them can be seen. And I'm told that they are today visible with the vermilion marks of the builders across the joints. And they are so tight, and we're talking about slabs of something, about stones of something like 15 feet cube. And they are so tight you can't put a penknife blade between them. What a lovely suggestion, isn't it? Great stones. Hewn stones. Brethren, at what cost it has been to hew us out of this world that was in under judgment and to bring us in as living stones in relation to God's glorious system. What a cost it has been. How we ought to be the more committed, every one of us, in relation to this great work that is going ahead, to provide this foundation on which the service of God can proceed, as we were reminding ourselves this afternoon. We go into the temple, does us good. I hope the young people here have taken a walk in the temple recently. I hope they had a good look around. I hope they've noticed the 10 tables of showbread and the 10 candlesticks, 12 loaves on each of the 10 golden tables of showbread, 120 loaves altogether. As I read it a few days back, I thought to myself, well, it's something like the 120 in the upper room. They were all together. They weren't geographically together. They were thoroughly together. Then there were 10 candlesticks. And they illuminated the glorious fact that around every one of those 12 tables, those 10 tables, was a crown of gold. As if to suggest the way that divine persons held with highest regard those who loved Christ, the company of the saints. There they were, a testimony bearing on the matter of our responsibility to likewise be occupied with the untold, unnumberable company of those represented in those 120 loaves on the table. They indeed, as we're all aware, were the priest's food. But they could never have been there. Nor could those great stones be used as a wall. Nor could the silver be applied to them. Nor the olive trees. Nor the olive wood panelling, all carved. Nor the gold. It could not have been applied, because there wouldn't have been anything to build on unless the foundation was there. And that's the point I want to make tonight, beloved brethren. The importance of getting back to God's foundation. It's the foundation of the service of praise. It's the foundation of all that God desires to secure from our hearts by way of response. And so in 2 Chronicles, again, it says, 2 Chronicles chapter 3, and Solomon began to build the house of Jehovah at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where he appeared to David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And he began to build on the second of the second month in the fourth year of his reign. Now the threshing floor, or rather the house, began to build the house of Jehovah at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. You can see the way that the Spirit of God has always had this great foundation in mind. Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. Where was he to be taken to? He's been taken to Mount Moriah. Where was the ram caught in the thicket by its horns? On Mount Moriah. What a foundation. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Don't just try and raise another foundation. Only one foundation. No other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then it says, where he appeared to David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Read that history, brethren. Plague was stayed, many lives lost. Nevertheless, in God's mercy, Christ typically comes into evidence and the plague is stayed. Thank God the plague has been stayed. Thank God for the mighty power that has been wrought in Christ when he raised him from among the dead. Thank God for the glory of this grace. This grace says that they brought great stones, costly stones, hewn stones, to lay the foundation of the house. And we take it on to 2 Chronicles 3, from which I've read. And it says, and this was Solomon's foundation for the construction of the house of God. I read this purely to indicate that this line of a divine foundation comes right through from Mount Moriah. Indeed, it comes in, it was in the heart of God before ever time began. Church is one foundation. Upon this rock, says the scripture, I will build my assembly, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail. Build my assembly. On this rock, Christ the Son of God. On this rock, will I build my assembly, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail. I go on now for by way of a comfort, I trust, to Ezra chapter 3. It says, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of Jehovah, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise Jehovah according to the direction of David, king of Israel. And they sung alternately together in praising and giving thanks to Jehovah, for he is good, for his loving kindness endureth forever toward Jehovah, toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout to the praise of Jehovah, because the foundation of the house of Jehovah was laid. Now this is a remarkable day. Again, we won't have time to go into the detail of it, but it's a very wonderful day. Day of recovery. Day of release from captivity. Ezra is appealing to the people. The Spirit of Christ in Ezra is appealing to the people. Sad to say, you know, we're told by those who have ministered before us that in this day of which we speak, brethren have got quite used to the confusion, quite used to the breakdown, quite used to the distress that was in Jerusalem, and we're doing little or nothing about it. Haggai's prophecy can fit into part of this, as we're well aware. There were the brethren dwelling in their wainscoted houses. They've become their foundation, their houses, not the foundation of God. Now Ezra starts to build, and they lay the foundation. The old men who were there, these old brothers who were there, they see it and they begin to weep. How sad. Not a time of weeping now, brethren. We've had our weeping. We've been very, very sad at what has happened recently. Now it's a time of joy, for the foundation is still being laid. It may not be as big as the old one, but it's a foundation. Thank God it's a foundation. Let's work at the foundation. Let's not worry because it doesn't fit in with what we have been used to. I've often done that. I've had it said to my shame. I've said to myself, to my shame, say not that the former days are better than these. But we do miss brethren we've known and loved. We pray for them still. We desire still a full and complete recovery. We desire to go on together like those boards that stand bound to one another, like these stones that are bedded onto this pavement. But thank God there was one thing about the weeping. It was superimposed by the joy. They were so glad when they were laying these stones, though the others were crying their eyes out. You couldn't hear their tears, you couldn't hear their sobs, because the laying of the foundation, with all that was in mind for the divine pleasure, was there proceeding under the hand of Ezra and those with him. As it says, many wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this house was laid in their sight, and many shouted aloud for joy. And the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a great shout, and the noise was heard afar. That's what's going to attract, brethren. That's what's going to attract. I never heard singing in the Philippi prison like the singing of Paul and Silas. The noise of Jerusalem, it says elsewhere, was heard afar off. For the people cheered, it says here, and shouted with a great shout, and the noise was heard afar off. May something of this spirit of victory be with us, brethren, even in the depression that is upon many of our spirits. There is a time for weeping. There is a time for joy. May we reach the time of joy in the acceptance of the principles that bind us the one to the other. May we proceed together in this working upon this divine objective, this base that was laid in Ezra's day, again on which the service of praise was to proceed, where all that was for the pleasure of God was once more to go on. This is what is in my mind in referring just to this scripture in Ezra, to encourage us all. I'm not setting aside or making little of the weeping. Many of us have felt like it, if we haven't actually wept. But the fact is now, brethren, the situation is that the foundation is being proceeded with. We're being recalled back to the foundation. It's the foundation of God stands, and it has this seal that the Lord knows them that are his. I'm not going to the other side of the seal. Much mischief has been made of that. Let's stay on the one side, just for the minute. The Lord knows them that are his. May we find out more about it. May we be more comforted by their company. May we know what it is to work out the great truth of this, the foundation of God that stands, as bound together, as another could say, in the one great bundle of life. I proceed then in closing to Ephesians chapter 2. So then, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and with the household of God. What a dignity. What a dignity is upon us, brethren. Say to our young brothers and our young sisters, what a dignity is upon them. Let's live our Christian lives compatible to that dignity. As it says, for ye are fellow citizens of the saints, of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. Now what a lovely touch. Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. Ephesians is the cornerstone. Corinthians, as we've often been reminded, is the foundation stone. Young people, that's good to keep in mind. When you hear the scripture read, Corinthians is the foundation stone, and Ephesians is the cornerstone. The cornerstone is the adornment that holds the whole facade of the building all together as one glorious whole. The foundation stone is that upon which the building is based, obviously. But Christ is the foundation stone, as it says. But it says here in Jesus Christ, himself being the cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitted together, increases to a holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye are built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. I'm not going to say very much about this. I trust I've conveyed to you the impression that's in my mind, the glory of this tremendous fact that our feet are to be set on the solid rock of a divine foundation. We're to look out on the totality of the work of God with a dignity that is proper to it. Not as a platitude, but as a working reality. I'm well aware that we're in fellowship with all, but that we cannot walk with all. That's true enough. But the fact that we're in fellowship with all gives us to understand surely that we must value very highly the cost that it has been in those silver bases on which the Lord stands. May the Spirit of God help us on this line. And so I come to this, as I've said, in closing. This building, as it says, is being fitted together, increases to a holy temple in the Lord, being fitted together. Brethren, many disciplines have come upon us. There are many problems that we don't understand. It's all part of the being fitted together. You know, the Kiplites, I believe, on those hewn stones I was telling you about, they were especially there for squaring them. They were taking off all the odd corners, seeing to it that when they butted, that they were tight, absolutely tight together. Seeing to it that they would bear the strain. They would bear the strain. My Bible tells me of a tried foundation stone, a foundation stone that bears the strain of everything and anything that can be put upon it. And so it says, in whom the whole building fitted together increases to a holy temple in the Lord. Increases to a holy temple in the Lord. I trust it's going to increase a little insofar as our meetings today here in Bromley is concerned. We could ask in one sense for nothing greater, nothing more glorious, that the work of the divine end soon to be reached should be added to by responses from all our hearts here in this very room tonight. May the Spirit of God bless us from this point of view. May he secure a yield, a stable yield, for his own pleasure and for his own praise. And then it says, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God in spirit. In whom ye also. Ephesian brethren, yes. Whom ye also. Built together, a habitation of God. Don't let's be narrow in our minds in thinking of this, brethren. Let's keep the totality of the divine work in mind. All is fitting into its place, as someone else has said, like a giant mosaic. Every tiny piece is needed to be fitted into that giant mosaic. When the divine end is reached, it will adorn the foundation, because everything will be of God. So it says, growing, built together, in whom also ye are built together for a habitation of God in spirit. In all whom also ye are built together. Built together is the word. That's the characteristic word of the early chapters of Acts, as you know, together. I've said and repeated, it doesn't mean geographically together, it means thoroughly together. And there they were, thoroughly together. May we remain thoroughly together. There has been a sad effort to split us, brethren. Thank God for those that are here. We need to pray and pray and pray with deepest feeling for those who are not available to us for the time being, and trust that this division that has come in may soon be remedied, soon be rectified, as we all return to this sure foundation. Finally, just one word. Church of Laodicea. You needn't turn to it. I'm only just going to briefly comment on it. It says that I know thy works. Want us to leave one another with this impression on our spirits, brethren? I know thy works. As Alexander was saying last week, if there are a time workmen are needed, they're needed now. A tremendous number of workmen were needed, thousands I believe, to get these great stones of the temple into position. If ever a workman are needed, they're needed now. I know thy works. But thou art neither hot nor cold. I would that thou wert hot or cold. Then, because thou sayest, I am rich and am grown rich and have need of nothing, he says, I rebuke and discipline as many as I love. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and am knocking. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. I'm thinking of the glory of the character of the person who's standing there knocking, and standing, I believe, in this very room knocking, that we might open our hearts, for God has found his every delight in the man of his pleasure. He's the divine sanctuary. He's the blessed man who has delighted God's heart and in whom God has found his absolute rest. And he stands at the door. We've been rather self-sufficient, brethren. We thought we've had everything. Maybe we've come to it, we haven't had as much as we thought we did have. Spirit of God has tested and tested and is testing us all still. May the Spirit of God help us. May we know what it is to open the door. It's often been said, hasn't it, that the bolts to the inside of the door are for you to open. We make the bolts very often. We shut the door. Let this blessed man into the midst. May the hand that knocks at the door appeal to all our affections. Behold, I stand at the door and am knocking. It says of Peter that he continued knocking. It is always said that the truth makes way for itself. And here's a blessed man standing there, standing at the door and knocking, in order that this church might be the recipient of his own personal grace, the glory of a manifestation that will set their hearts aglow, and that they might, from the facade of what was sheer pretension, get back to a solid foundation. May this be the blessing of us all. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.